feel very impressed and led of the Lord to put a few things on tape and mail it to the saints. I'm not able to get out to bring the message as I would like to the Monarch meeting, but it's something the Lord has laid on my heart to do, and we feel very impressed to do it, and we want to obey the Lord. The first thing is, we have talked about this so much, praying and praising the Lord. It's power in both of them. But the Lord has laid on our hearts since the meeting is starting, many of you will be there, do some special praying for the meeting naturally before you go. But every day there should be a time that the saints should get together, and it don't have to all be in the one trailer or at the one place for the novel, to specially pray for the meeting. And for our unsaved children, for the sick, and for the many souls to be saved in the meeting, the Lord can work out His own purpose in the meeting. I feel we do a lot of visiting at the meeting. We would have to leave off some of our visiting and visit with the Lord and pray that the Lord will work graciously and specially in this meeting. We cannot just sit around and talk up a meeting or think about it, but we must pray it down from heaven. So we desire that we obey this. I'm sorry I can't be at the meeting, but I do want to obey the Lord. Find a place to pray during the meeting, a special hour. You don't have to all be in the same trailer or place, different, but 1 hour during the meeting should be set aside when there's no special meeting going on, like the children meeting and so forth. Get along with the Lord and especially pray for the meeting. I would like to tell you of a incident that happened. This was a true incident. The mother is something about the mothers do a lot of praying while the father is at work and taking care of the children. Well, this mother had a son that was rather rebellious and disobedient. And he grew up, he stayed there at home, and she wanted to see him get saved so much, and he hadn't. So she decided to just put him in the hand of God and do some praying. And when he was growing up in his teens, she would wait until he would leave, maybe go to school, or maybe when he was working, and go to his room and get on her knees and pray by his bedside. She did this for a long time until the boy noticed the prints of her elbow on his bed. And the Lord convicted him so hard. Finally, he cried to his mother, "I have seen you, the print of your elbow on my bed. The Lord is dealing with my soul. I know you've been praying here for me, and I want to get saved." Oh, I thought that was such a wonderful pattern for a mother, that we'll keep our children on the altar. And one time, the Lord told me this. I was on my knees praying, and the Lord spoke to my heart in a very sad tone. And he said, "Pray for the saints' children." I thought about it so much and began to pray more for the saints' children. Pray for those that are saved, that they'll keep saved, and keep true to the Lord at the peril of their life. Pray for those that are not saved, that the Lord will give us their heart, that they will give their hearts to the Lord. And then I thought of the scripture of David when he said, I was young but now I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed, their seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and his seed are blessed. That's his children of the faith. So it helps us to realize that the Lord has a claim on the saints' children. Who is going to bring the church of God home when the older ones is passed on to their reward? The Lord is depending on the saints' children to stay true to the Lord. Those that are saved and others to get saved, he love you all. I thought of the scripture that said, train up a child in the way it should go. When it's old, it will not depart from it. This is something we need to do as parents. Don't be too busy working and doing and going and leaving our children aside. We want to pray for those children. We want to live a life before them that they can follow us as we follow Christ. This is what the Lord is wanting us to do. I thought of another incident. I thought to mention it here. It was another mother that had a son. And this son thought when he was over in his teens, he wasn't a rebellious child, but he just wanted to get out and try life for himself, like the prodigal son. So he was left home, and his mother begged him not to go. But as he went to leave in a way and said kind words to his mother, he just wanted to get out on his own. Well, son, I would like for you to stay home, but I want you to remember this. At 12 o'clock every day, I will be praying for you. Well, the boy went on his way, kissed his mother bye. It wasn't a sad disappointment, like he was being rebellious or anything. Just want to get out on my way, kind of like the prodigal son. Well, one day while he was out and he was going down the highway, and he noticed a crowd of people was standing by a stream of water, a river. He wondered what they were doing. So he went in to stop and went in and to the crowd and wondered what the trouble was. And the child, pretty big child, had got drowned. Mother was there in a big crowd with her, and the different ones had gone into the water to try to rescue the body for the mother. No one had been able to rescue the child. The young man spoke up. He said, if you wait till 12 o'clock, I'll go in. And I believe that I can find, rescue the child's body. He said, my mother is a praying mother. And when I left home, my mother said every day at 12 o'clock, I'll be praying for you, and I want you to remember this. He went on his way. So he let them know that I want you to wait till 12 o'clock. My mother will be praying for me, and I believe God will answer her prayer. So when 12 o'clock came, he leaped out in the water and went on his way down the stream to rescue the child. So he stayed a while, and the crowd stayed there to wait what the outcome would be. But after a while, they saw the young man coming back, and somehow he had the child fastened to his side. Naturally, it was dead, but he knew it would be. But what I want us to get, the mother's prayer. It's something about prayer, folks. Power in prayer. And he came back He had rescued the child and brought the child back with him. Praise God. I'm thinking about another incident. This was Brother Shelton. This was somebody I knew down in Alabama. He had been with what they used to call, and maybe they do, the First Church of God or whatever. But anyway, he got tired of that or some things he was doing, but he didn't know that the old saints of God were still living. If there would be an old saint, like he knew when he was a child. So somebody came down and preached, I believe it was Brother Crawley, the truth, that's way back there, many years ago. Let him know the old saints are still living. And he went to Monarch the first time and he heard the word there. We're so glad that the old time truth was still standing. So he took his stand with the saints, he went to Bakersfield, and he heard the truth there. He went home, and after he went home back to Alabama, Tuscaloosa, a little town out from Tuscaloosa named Northport. They're having a meeting there right now in Northport, Alabama. And he told his people, I found the old time truth again. So then, the saints, dear Sister Hood, she's gone now. She's one of the old saints of God. She knew, I hate to mention your servant's name that's talking, but it was us that she talked to so many of the ministers. She said, if you will go down, oh, she would help anybody, but go down and get the truth started again to some of her people that were still living in Alabama. Well, none had time to go, so finally she said to us, Sister Catherine, will you go? It's way back there in the time when they had the Jim Crow law, the black people and white, you know all about it, don't want to be saying too much about it, but this is the way it was. And some of the people felt for me to go as a woman by myself, it wouldn't be safe. So I told her, if the Lord will, we'll pray about it, we'll go. So when we prayed, the Lord said, if you go, I'll see you through. I'll take care of you. So finally, when we decided to go and the Lord laid it on our heart, we went to the same place teaching the old time truth. So finally, one of the brothers named Brother Effinger, some of you know Brother Effinger, he was very much concerned, but with me being a woman, he had a little, I don't think a doubt, but a little something there to know if this is really what we are looking for. And so I stayed at the home of the son, David Shelton. And Brother Effinger was a carpenter. He was working there and working for Brother David. And of course, that when he'd come for noontime for his lunch, we would talk about the truth. And we told him as much as we knew to tell him by the help of the Lord. And finally, we had talked so many different times. I said, this day I'll just kind of go in my room and let him rest. But when he came and he didn't, where is that lady that's talking about the church? Well, I went out and we talked with him again. So finally he decided to take a stand with the saints. Well, he wanted me to explain many things to him about the church and something about the wearing of the tithes and all of this. I say, I have no scripture to read to you concerning the tithe. But I'll tell you about one brother. He said he loved his tithe so much before he got saved, when he go to cut wood, he put on his tithe. But after the Lord dealt with his heart and he saw that the saints, how they dressed and everything, he got saved. He gave up his tithe. And I said to the brother, we do not dress the people when they get saved. We let the Holy Ghost do that. And we'll just leave that in the hands of the Lord. So then I left and we came back. And we decided for a meeting and so forth, more of the saints was going to come. One of the saints' son, young boy, got in the wrong company and he got killed. Well, Brother Effinger knew this family so much, and he had pulled off his tie because another time I was down there and so many of the other people that was coming out of that way that Brother Effinger was in, the First Church of God or whatever they call it. So many came to the altar and he was sitting up there and he had taken his stand, but he hadn't taken his tie off. He's sitting there with his tie on. I said, will you come and help me pray for these people? You know most of them. He came and he helped to pray with this tie on. And I asked him, he said, when I went home and thought about how the Lord worked, I thought, surely this must be from God. So he pulled off his tie. But after this saint's boy got killed, they wanted him to do the service, do the eulogies, the big church in Babylon. Well, anyway, he preached, and I wondered, I said, with all of this crowd, maybe he'll put his tie back on, but he didn't. Last time I saw him, he didn't wear it. He said the Lord dealt with his heart, and that's all he needed to do. So we don't have to dress one other up when we get saved. Listen to the Holy Spirit. May the Lord help us all, and may the Lord help us, as since the Lord is concerned back to the saints' children. Let's pray a little more for our children, a little harder, a little truer, that they'll be saved. I want to say to you young children of the saints, you may be sitting there with your babies in your arms, and you depend on the older saints if something happens. Call them for prayer. Whether you're saved or not, you have confidence in your parents and their prayer. But who's going to be praying for your little children and your others to come on, children, grandchildren, and great children? Who's going to pray for them? Oh, saints of God. Children of the saints of God. Will you do a little more thinking? Will you do a little more praying concerning your own soul and what the Lord is going to require you at the judgment? Have you ever read that tract of the parents meeting their children in judgment? And the parents said to the children, or the children said to the parents, Mama, Dad, why didn't you tell me this was wrong? Why didn't you tell me? Too busy out in the world. Didn't train the children like the Lord had required it. May the Lord help us to get a hold. It's difficult for me to put it in words, but I believe the Holy Spirit will make it true to your heart. It's what we are trying in our feeble way to put in words. May the Lord bless you all. We love you. I love you children that's not saved just as well as I do the saints' children that are saved. And I often say to you, children of the saints, not only are you the children of the saints of your blood, mother, and father, but you are my children, and I want you to love me, and I want to meet you on the other side. Pray for me. I want to explain something to you, an experience that I had concerning the saints' children. My mother was the mother of 12 children, 8 boys and 4 girls. And at this time, I had lost my last brother, I lost my last sister, my mother and father was all gone, were already. And I went to my knees, I was so lonely, and I was weeping before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't have a family anymore, and oh, just so bereaved. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said this, you have a big family. You have mothers, you have fathers, and you have children in the family of God. And he continued to talk to my heart until he comforted my soul. And this is why I can claim you, and not only what he said to me then, but the word of God in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. And Paul said, for this cause I will bow my knees unto the Father and Jesus Christ, unto which the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So listen, it makes no difference about a color, whether brown, white, or blue. The blood of Jesus covers our identity. We're no more that, but we're just the children of God. You're no more Greek. You're no more bond or free, but one in Christ. So thank God for the family of God. And I am glad the Lord saw fit to make me a family of God. We wanted to talk to you a little further concerning the work of God and how we need to live, to be faithful to the Lord, to get our prayers through. I was thinking about, I believe it was Daniel, that he was going to be put in the lion's den because he did not honor the president at that time as he should, but he was very faithful. Well, when the only thing that they could find wrong of Daniel was Daniel calling on God three times a day. So they went to the president at that time and told him how Daniel was calling upon the Lord. They thought they should make a law that he would be put in Daniel into a lion's den if he didn't stop calling on God. So when they made this decree and when it was signed, then he was ordered to be put in the lion's den. And they got him, and when Daniel knew the decree had been signed that he should be put into the lion's den because he didn't call upon the man for relief. After he knew the decree was signed, he went into his room, raised his window, didn't try to hide, and still prayed to his God. Our God, three times a day. So they caught him and they put him in the lion's den. And all night long, there with the lion, the next morning, the president, the chief, was in such misery. They didn't want him to bring any food to him because he felt he was the cause of Daniel being put in the lion's den. Didn't even know that he was alive. So he went down to the den. And he called Daniel with a very sad voice. Daniel, oh Daniel, does thy God still deliver you? Yes, he sent the angel down and locked the lion's mouth. And they have done me no hurt. And neither had I done you any hurt. So they let him out. Praise God. We are talking about prayer, what prayer will do for us. Then they took those same men that had accused him just jealously, threw him down to the lion, and hardly before they could hit the bottom of the den, the lion was feeding off of them. It's power in prayer. We thank the Lord for that. And we thank the Lord for the praise, how you can praise the Lord. I was telling you about how I met the saints and how I prayed so long. I was saved. Knew nothing about the truth. But I felt the Lord had a people somewhere. He had done for them what He had done for me. So I would pray every day at 12 o'clock in a little old room that I had there on the place where I worked. Lord, lead me to the people that You've done for them what You have done for me. I hardly knew what to call it. I thought I was already saved. Well, in a way, the Lord led me to the people of God. He led me to go back to Stockton, where I had gone many times when I was in this other way. Go with those people. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite, but help me to go on. Caught a train. Train was running from Stockton to Oakland in the morning and in the evening. So I could go in the morning, home Sunday, and come back in the evening. I went to that place where we once had was with the other people. But they had rented their little house down, little chapel, to someone else and got a bigger chapel in the city. One of them invited me into their home for dinner that day before I went back. So when we got there, we got to talk. I said, what did you do with your little chapel that you did have when I was with you? And they said, well, we rented that out to some more people, and we got a better chapel uptown. I said, well, what do they call themselves? They call themselves the Church of God. They call themselves the original Church of God. Well, we thought about that, and I said, well, do you have any of those people's phone number or address? We don't have an address, but we have a phone number of a carpenter that's doing some work that belongs to that church, and we can give you the phone number. Well, they gave me the phone number, and I called. That was the old brother Dillard. He still lives, but his wife is going on. And I told him, and I asked even before I made the call, getting a little ahead of myself, how do they worship? Well, the men don't wear any ties, and the women dress very common. They don't wear jewelry and things like that. So I called Brother Dillard, and they began to tell me about the truth and everything. They said, we'll come over and get you. But it rained, and they had a little T-Mobile Ford, and they couldn't get it started. Well, I guess we'll just have to meet you at the station. So they met me at the station. And when Sister Dillard was writing out addresses and names, that people right there close to me in Berkeley, with Berkeley and Oakland, you wouldn't hardly know whether you was in Berkeley or Oakland unless you just knew the dividing street. Well, in a way, they told me this about Sister Graham. I called Sister Graham. I told her I was coming over, got over there. I was so glad. Oh, I was so glad to meet the saint of God. And they was holding service in her house. Didn't have a chapel. I said, do you have a place where we can go and just talk and pray? And she said, I don't have an extra room, but I have an apartment downstairs. We can go down there. Praise the Lord. I was so glad. I wanted to shout and praise the Lord in high medicine, and we shouted and we prayed. It means a lot. I knew nothing as I told you about the truth, but I knew God must have had a people. And this is how He led me to them. And after we were there so long, one of my friends, she wanted to take me over to a place where she worshiped. And she thought they might like, no. They was doing the same thing that they was doing up in the congregation that I came out of, the assembly. All right, we want to start on this point. And as we said in the beginning, it is something for us to get something out of. It's more than 100 years old because I read it as a child, and it was old at that time. But we thought it may do something in it that would be a good help to you or a lesson to you. It has been to me. And the Lord has impressed me to put it over this, on this tape. So we'll begin with the poem. She stood at the bar of justice, a creature worn and mild, informed to her. I'm going to start the poem all over.
It's ready to go.
I believe it would be good, since we made some mistakes on the poem, to just start it all over. You can. I thank you, brother.
Yeah. You need time to follow.
You pray for me.
You need time to follow.
All right, then. She stood.
How did you get there?
At the bar of justice. A creature worn and mild, informed too small for a woman, and features too old for a child. Your name, said the judge, as he eyed her in kindly look and yet keen. To Mary McCure, if you please, sir, and your age, I am turned 15. Well, Mary, as he read from a paper, they have you charged here for stealing 3 loaves of bread. You look not like an offender, and I hope that you can show the charge to be false. Now tell me, are you guilty of this or no? A passionate burst of weeping was at first her soul's reply, but she dried her eyes in a moment, and she looked in the judge's eye. I will tell you just how it was, sir. My father and mother are dead, and my little sister and brother was hungry and asked me for bread. At first, I earned it for them by working hard all day. But somehow, times grew bad, sir, and the work all fell away. I could get no more employment. The weather was bitter cold, and the little ones cried and shivered. Little Johnny, but 3 years old. So what was I to do, sir? I took, but do not condemn. Oh, was it stealing the bread to give to them? Every man in the courtroom, gray beard and thoughtless youth, knew as they looked upon her that the prisoner told the truth. Out from their pocket came handkerchiefs, out from their eyes sprang tears, and out from the faded old wallet treasures hoarded for years. The judge's face was a study, the strangest they ever saw, as he cleared his throat and murmured something about the law. But no one blamed him or wondered when at last these words was heard. The sentence for this young prisoner is for the present deferred. No one blamed him or wondered when he went to her and smiled and tenderly led from the courtroom himself, the guilty child. I don't know what any of you would get out of this poem. Anything to help ourselves or to help someone else. But the thought that came to my mind when she burst into tears, she was thinking, my dear old father and mother's gone. My little brother and sister's not able to help me. I have no one to help me out here alone. And maybe as she looked over the crowd, she might have recognized someone, but she may ask a nickel or dime to help her, and maybe was it right. Back in those days, you could get a loaf of bread for a nickel, and for a dime, a good sized one. But nevertheless, we thank God. She was wanting to be honest, and she was honest. God loves an honest soul. And she told the truth just like it was. May the Lord help me, and may He help you. Before we judge anybody, let us be sure we understand what we are doing. It could have been when the person that owned the store told the judge about this and we want to take it to the court. It could have been that the judge said, well, it's a small thing. Let us sit down and talk to the child and see why she did this. Why did she steal her bread? Go to the house and follow her home and see what kind of place she's living in. She may just need help. It could have been that way. But it seemed like the owner of the store wanted to put a charge against her and wanted to take it to court. And she did take it to court. Help us all to remember we are human men and that the Lord wants us to be helpers of one another, to share one another, and not be so quick to judge a person when you don't know the truth about the thing. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to help you to be a blessing to the one that's going through a trial or test or something. Oh, may the Lord help us. But it's one thing I can say that I believe. The truth about this, if it was any truth in it, she didn't have to worry no more about stealing nothing. I believe with those old people, men and the younger ones, having wallets and money that had never been spent for years. And others, they made some kind of situation, I believe, to help this girl, these children. So we felt impressed to put it on this tape, and we would like for you to study it. May it be good for you to type it off and have it right in front of you and learn not to be a judge of other people, but look like you like the Bible says. How can you say to your brother, pull the mote that is out of your eye, and in your own eye is a beam that happens sometimes. A beam is a large piece of wood or plank. Looking out from under that, judging your brother and telling him to clear up his life. I recall the time I received a letter from one of the saints of God, and she didn't say anything in the letter at all to pray for her. But she said to me in the letter, I want you to pray for so-and-so, two people, and for so-and-so. They're needing help in this hole, so pray for them. Well, some things they had did was maybe wrong. About 2 weeks, I felt when I read the letter, this person is one needing prayer. 2 weeks after that, I received another letter from the same person. Oh, Sister Catherine, pray for me. I almost lost my soul looking at other people. I'm the one that needs prayer. Oh, may the Lord help us today. I thought about a time myself that I was hoping to make this. I was taking care of a young woman, 24 years old, and she wasn't able to feed herself or nothing. Yes, had to take care of a lot of newborn babies. And she got very, I don't know what you would call it, but very ugly towards me. Doing ugly things, she could talk and say ugly things to other people. It got so bad, I didn't feel I'd have to accept all of that, so I went to the Lord. And I said, Lord, how must I treat this person? You see how she's treated me? I was having to feed her, cook for her, watch her feed, made her everything like a newborn baby. The Lord answered me so quick. I was on my knees and I was sincere, Lord, how can I take it anymore? How must I treat her? The Lord said, treat her just like you treat me. Oh, I said, Lord, I am not there yet. I cannot treat her like I treat you, because I don't want to feed you with a long-handled spoon and so forth. But Lord, by your grace and by your help, I'm going to get there. I was doing a lot of praying for the young woman to do different. But I forgot about that, folks, and I started praying for Catherine. I fasted and prayed for several days. But the Lord had helped me. So I thought about David. David said, if it had been an enemy, I could have borne it. But this was a familiar friend of mine. We walked in the house of God in company. We praised the Lord. This is the one that has kicked up his heels against me. That's the way I felt about this lady until the Lord talked to me. Stopped praying for her and I started praying for myself. Lord, help me to get to a place where I can treat this woman just like you. I treat you. Let me tell you something. Any time you be willing to do what the Word teaches us, obey, love your enemy, and pray for them that despitefully lose you. Any time you be willing and you are hurt, and you want to forgive and seem like it's hard to forgive, if you pray to the Lord will help you have a forgive. He'll make it easy for you, but if you just want to go on it so much, not praying and just, oh, who I am and so forth, you don't get the help that you need. Oh, I want to tell you of another incident. This was concerning a school, and this was a true incident. Oh, I wanted to finish telling you about the young woman. But after the Lord had fixed me in my own soul where I could forgive her and love her and think nothing about it, she came to me and she said, Sister Kathy, oh, I've treated you so bad. I've spoke things about you and talked about you and so forth. Sister Catherine, will you forgive me? Oh, yes, the Lord has fixed my heart. And I was willing to forgive that man. Didn't have a better friend any closer to me than she was. And she lived several years after that. Very close. But I had to take care of to Lucy, and we had to get down to the bottom. Dig down to the bottom, folks. When you strike the bottom rock, far. When you strike the rock, far away. Pray. Well, anyway, about this other story, this is a true story. I read it in a paper, but I forget the name of the town and the city where it happened. But it was where they had a boys' training school. And the boys was pretty rough, pretty disobedient, pretty bitter towards the one trying to help them. And in a way, they couldn't keep a teacher long at a time, because they would make it hard for the teacher, and the teacher would just quit the job. So finally, a young man heard about the school was needing a teacher. And he went to the principal and put in his application for the job. And the principal, oh no, said, you can't manage that job. It's been several there, older people that had to give it up. So the boy is so rebellious and so disobedient and so hard to deal with, hard to help. And the young man said he still wanted the job, said, please, I can help him. So he said, well, if you want the job, you can have it. You can learn how to get to the school and everything and about the rules and different things. So the young man went. Well, maybe on the first day of the week on Monday, he showed up in the schoolroom and the boys were sitting in there and they laughed, looked at each other and laughed. It won't take us long to get rid of him, his job. So he didn't pay any attention to that. But finally he said, called class to order, told them, made himself acquainted with him, told him his name and everything and why he was there to help him. He said, now, before we start out, the first thing we should do is make some rules that we should go by. So they began to say different things, different rules they should have, the boys, he accepted it. But some of the strongest rules that they made were, we should all be on time. And we should all be honest and not be hopping off of one another's paper for after paper and so forth. And we should all, and no one should steal. If anyone should steal anything, you find out you've done that, well, the teacher want to know what would be the punishment. Said, well, he should be whipped with his coat off, given 10 lashes if he steals something. You find out and he is on that he did it and so forth. Do that with his coat off. You'll have to pull his coat off. Well, they all agreed. There was one boy had named Harry, the other one John. Harry didn't have a pleasant home. Harry, it seems, his mother was a widow, didn't have much money to care for him, didn't eat like he should, because he didn't have it at home. So one day, he got very hungry at school. So he went in the closet and he stole John's lunch. And he ate it. John reported it to the teacher, oh, my lunch was stolen. Somebody stole my lunch. So the teacher put all the boys together, wanting to be honest and tell the truth. And any of you steal John's lunch? Finally, Harry told the truth. So yes, I'm the one that stole it. Well, Harris.
Daddy, would you call 107, please? Daddy, call 107.
When you come to school tomorrow, we're going to have to punish you because you have made these rules. So we'll have to pull off your coat and take your lashes. Went on home, didn't tell his mother anything about it. But his mother, he didn't have but this one shirt. And his mother's going to watch that day, and he said, well, Harry, I want you to leave that shirt and just wear your mother, your brother's coat, and you won't have to pull it off. And I can wash your shirt and be ready for you the next day. So he left his shirt, and he put his my brother's big overcoat on and went on to school. So when it got all fixed in the school, it said, the teacher said, well, Harry, we will have to go through the process that we all decided on this room. But you're the one that stole, got his lunch, so come forward. He went up to the bed. He said, pull your coat off. He told the kid, can light you with your coat off. He said, oh, no, no, please don't make me pull my coat off. He said, but you have made these rules, so you have to obey. He kept begging, you just have to pull your coat off. And finally, he slowly pulled the coat off. Hear me, people. Underneath his coat was a raggedy, raggedy undershirt. No shirt at all, just a raggedy undershirt, t-shirt, very raggedy. That's why he didn't want to pull the coat off, because he knew he didn't have a shirt on. And he looked at him. He said, well, and you know, it takes something to test the heart of people. When he pulled his coat off and his raggedy shirt, and the teacher started to lash at him, all the boy's eyes burst with tears. No, 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 it couldn't stand it. Even till the teacher bowed his head in tears, but trying to kick out here the room. So John, the one that the lunch was taken from, cried out, teacher, teacher, don't lay no more lashing on, I'll take the whipping. He pulled his coat off and he came up and let the teacher whip him for the lunch, his own lunch that was stolen from him, because he had pity for the boy. Pity. Raggedy. That broke up all the revengeance, that broke up all the hard words and disobedience that became after that. A nice group of boys to work with. This is what I thought about. When I was on the dancing floor, I wasn't thinking much about Jesus and what I need to do for him, because he's done so much for me. But here I was, a dancer and a card player and going out to the games and so forth. And here is Jesus giving his life blood for my soul and for your soul. Jesus, bless God, took my place on the cross. He took your place on the cross. It should have been me. It should have been you. But it was Jesus. When he was praying before he went to the cross, he knew that was going to be a hard thing to give his life. And he said, Father, oh, if you can move this cup from me, but not as my will, thy will be done. And I thought about God gave his son, and I thought about the poet that wrote the song, How Great Thou Art. And the verse that said, when I think that God gave his son, I just can't take it in that on the cross he bled and died to take away my sin. He gladly took the burden, bled and died to take away the sin. I want you to get this, dear one, what God has done for you and me. Don't you feel that we owe everything to the Lord? Don't you feel we should do everything and every duty that He lay on our hearts to do? I do. When I think of God gave His only Son, I scarce can take it in. I scarce can even now, and the court was that way. That on the cross, Jesus, His only Son, bled and died to take away His sin. He gladly bore my burden. He gladly, He didn't just do it with a huff or puff, but He gladly took the gave His life. He gladly gave His blood for you and me. So we owe a lot to Jesus. And let us remember that. And let us, the little things that we can do for one another, sharing one another's burden. Yes, do it. Sometimes we can get so far down in the Lord and wonder just barely making you think, well, He's not merchant, He'll never see anything. But it's your duty and my duty to pray for that one that's weak. He said, if your brother be overtaken with a fault, let he that is spiritual restore such a one, lest at any time you might be tempted yourself, be still in the body, and help us. Well, but another help us not going around with ourselves, a cold feeling because this and the other. Maybe the Lord is using this one a little more than He's using you and me. Thank God that all the gifts are working, and the Lord said He'd do this for the perfection of the saints. We need all of this. So may the Lord help us to keep true. May the Lord help us to be faithful to the Lord. We feel like the time is slowly coming to an end. And I want you to know, every one of you, we love you. And what we said about the praying, now this is the thing that the Lord laid on my heart, that we need to go back to our Father's praying ground. And we mentioned it in the beginning of the message about 1 hour since the meeting is soon coming on. 1 hour, pray until the meeting come. We have to pray it down. But at the meeting, see if you can stick out 1 hour every day that each of you can get on your knees and pray. If it's in someone's tent or someone's, what you call a trailer, in that little house, at 1 o'clock, wherever you buy, all of you be together. Some might be in this tent, in the other tent, or in the little house. But 1 hour a day, that's the time when there's nothing else going on. Get a hold to God for the meeting and for your children that's lost and away from God. Want to see them saved. And for your loved ones, it don't have to be your children. Friends, just the soul. Found with dope addict, drug and other. Pray in the meeting that the Lord will send down from heaven a glorious meeting. Be long forgotten. The only way we can have a good meeting, we must pray it down from heaven. Can't just talk it down, sit around. Just pray it down from heaven. I believe the Lord will have a glorious meeting this summer at Monarch. We won't be able to come unless the Lord will work a miracle. But we will be there in spirit and prayer if we still be here at all. We may not be here. But may the Lord help us. If we don't see you no more on this side, saint, we're going to be looking for you on the other side.